But those who express kindness and sweetness and tenderness and joy and happiness and unselfishness may very well find that what they've got to use in the way of currency is abundance, because they're using what God has given them. And then it will come in all the forms it needs. Because love is so important to the demonstration of supply, one really needs to understand what love is all about. And I'm sure that you all know the synonyms, the qualities of love. But it's not a matter of just knowing them intellectually. It's a matter of imbibing them spiritually and letting them express themselves as you. And that requires study and lots of study. Ms. Eddy says, she's saying, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. And therefore, if it's the heart and the soul, it's the most important thing. And we should concentrate our study to a great extent to acquire that love so that it fills our thought and expresses itself as us. Ms. Eddy has a letter in the archives in Boston in which she says that if one really wants to progress in Christian Science, they should spend a minimum of 5 hours a day studying. Now, this sometimes shocks somebody, but if you'll do it, it'll really pay off. Years ago, when I was in business, I was on a job. I was working 18 hours a day, and I was ill. And I called my teacher for help. And all that he said to me on the phone, if you're not putting in those 5 hours, you're not doing your job. That was a Sunday night. And I thought, well, now, if I'm working 18 hours, and I've got to study 5 hours, that's going to give me 1 hour's sleep. I thought, all right, I'll do it. By Friday, by doing this, I was back to a normal 8-hour day for the first time in weeks. I was back in my home office. I had 10 more years of business experience before I went into the practice. But never during those 10 years did I have one single moment of overtime, because I kept those 5 hours up steadily all that time. It took care of everything. If you put God first, you'll find that everything else will follow. And to demonstrate the sense of substance that we need in the world today, a great deal of your time, those 5 hours, could profitably be spent in gaining the understanding of it and getting the sense of love. I knew a woman who lived in a very exclusive suburb of Chicago, and her husband went bankrupt. Now, the people in this community were very indignant that anybody there would do such a thing. And her friends started shunning her, and if she walked down the street and they saw her coming, they would cross to the other side. If they saw her in a market, they'd turn away from her. She was a good working Christian Scientist, and she understood love. And she thought, I don't have any money, but I do have love, and I'm going to give that love out under every circumstance. And so she didn't react, she didn't get resentful, she didn't criticize, she just kept loving. And by that constant outpouring of love, she restored her family to a much greater position than they had ever been in. We need to get so clear on what this love is that we can use it right in the face of every phase of hatred that mortal mind might try to express through us. And when I say hatred, I'm talking about everything that is unlike love, the criticism, the reacting, the resentment. I had a woman come to me once who had a condition of cancer, and she was filled with resentment at something some friends of hers had once done to her. And she wanted to talk about it all the time, and she thought about it all the time, and she couldn't get off this treadmill of thinking about this fact. I prayed with her, and nothing happened. And finally, one day, I said to her, I said, you know, nobody would ever do anything unkind to you if they understood love. So what they're doing when they do something unkind is they're saying, I don't have love. and they're asking you to give them your love. So instead of sending back what they've done to you as resentment, give them love. Now, she saw this, and she was a good Christian Scientist, and she started actively expressing love to these people, realizing that she was filling a need for them by doing so. In a very few days, she was completely free of the physical claim. Love is what the world needs. Love is what God has given us. And love is what we can give out. Every time we criticize, we are denying the fact that we are an expression of love. Criticism is your open acknowledgement of your inability to see God's perfect man. It's also an expression of self-will. It's thought saying, I don't like what somebody did. They're not doing it the way I want them to do it. Now, we can get rid of criticism by loving ourselves. And the clearer we see what we are as a spiritual reflection, the easier it is to see everybody else in that same light. One time when I was trying to get a clearer view of what I was as God's man, and Ms. Eddy says, man is an individual, stupendous, God-like agency. And I was trying to really establish this in my thought, to really see that that's what I was. I used to walk over to the UN building in New York, which happens to be a building that I like, but you could do this with anything. And I would translate that building into qualities. It stands for symmetry and beauty and loveliness and simplicity and stateliness and so forth. And I thought, well, now, these qualities that that building expresses came from God. They came to the mind of an architect, and he put them down in a form on paper. But they originally came from God. And if they can take the appearance of that building, then think of what a much greater appearance they can take in me, since man is the highest idea that God ever conceived. I also thought of the mountains out west that I love so much. They stand for ruggedness and beauty and grandeur and stability and strength. But man is much greater than the mountains. And those two concepts gave me a slight understanding of how tremendous my real being really was. Now, as you see that your being is splendid and magnificent and wonderful, and that it's filled with nothing but perfect, active qualities of God, then it would be impossible for you to have any concept of somebody over here that wasn't in that same condition. The only thing that makes us criticize is a sense of not really loving and appreciating ourselves. And what a mind objectifies it over to somebody else. But really, the criticism is of ourselves. And that cuts us off from a consciousness of love. And therefore, for our own sake, we can't afford to let criticism be expressed through us. And an early member of the board of directors, first got interested in Christian Science. He went to Mrs. Eddy and he said, Mother, why was it that a woman had to discover Christian Science? Mrs. Eddy smiled and she said, well, the discoverer was going to have so much error thrown at him or her, it had to be somebody who knew how to take it. She says, it was the nature of a man to fight back. It's the nature of true womanhood to bow her head and let the error pass over. Another time she compared man to a mighty oak that broke in the wind. But a woman was like a willow tree, true woman, like a willow tree. It bends and then comes back. Some years later, Mr. McKenzie was practicing in Toronto, and he lost a case. And in those days, there was nothing to protect the practitioner. And the family sued. It got into the headlines of the paper, and the whole city got incensed against Christian Science, and he got ill. As he was praying, he suddenly remembered this conversation with Mrs. Eddy, and he thought, I'm fighting back. Now my true womanhood can bow its head and let the arrow pass over. And he did. He let his consciousness get filled with love. Love that knew nothing but love. And so he forgot all the errors that were going on around him. He was instantly healed, and the court case was dissolved.